Now, Mark, let's get into some of those football matches. I was just watching an incredible try. I think it was in the league. But let's start with the rugby. The Crusaders are off to a shocker this season.
They certainly are. There's probably a tale of two teams. If you look at the Super Rugby Pacific's first month, you've got the Hurricanes resplendent in first place with a 4-0 perfect record and travelling smoothly, and then right down all the way at the other end of the table, you've got the 0-4 Crusaders. Yes, I said the 0-4 Crusaders. Never in their history, Catherine, have that as this franchise. I think that's this is the 29th year of Super Rugby. Have they ever lost four games in a row? And they have now. So this is literally new territory for an outfit. I think that's won 14 of the 28 championships that this Super Rugby competition's had, and has only ever missed the finals three times. And would you believe their last losing season was 22 years ago in 2001? So very unfamiliar territory for the Crusaders, 0-4.
Obviously a big change for the franchise this year, but how serious is this getting? Is it showing up gaps in personnel? Are we going to be talking about the change of coach soon? What's going on?
I don't think we'll be talking about a change of coach.
No, I meant the change of coach. Is the coach going to wear it, in other words?
Yes, exactly. No, that you are right to mention the coach. Rob Penny, as we all know, has taken over from Scott Robertson, who won seven straight championships and left Rob, you know, a tough act to follow, shall we say, as he's stepped up to the All Blacks. Rob, remember, came in, he was Waratahs coach in 2021, lost five in a row and then got sacked from that job. So I guess the precedent is there. He's come into the Crusaders, now lost four. So he's riding a personal 9-match losing streak in Super Rugby. So if any, as much as people in Christchurch are desperate for the Crusaders to turn around, Rob Penny's even more desperate. He needs a win. Look, 0-4, there's a long way to go. There's a low bar to make the top eight. Eight out of 12 teams make the finals. This season is by no means over. But, Catherine, they play the Blues on Saturday night at Eden Park, a tough assignment. The Blues are won three out of four and travelling, you know, kind of okay. And then they play the Chiefs. Look, there is every potential for the Crusaders to be 0-6 in a fortnight going into their bye. And then we will be talking about a team wedged firmly between a rock and a hard place.
Look, I can remember when the Blues couldn't win a game to save themselves, and it's been a long time since the Hurricanes have been leading the table, or sustaining a lead in the table anyway. To be fair, there's been a heck of a lot of injury and fitness issues for the Crusaders.
Absolutely. Look, for starters, they've lost Sam Whitelock, Richie Moyanga, two of their absolute talismen. They've departed for offshore contracts, as well as Lester Fanganuku and Jack Goodhue, two key backs. So that's four guys that were really important parts of what they've achieved in recent times. Gone. This year, Will Jordan, Braden Enoch, gone for the season. Cody Taylor's on sabbatical, not due back till May. On their injured list, Scott Barrett, Ethan Blackadder, Tamaiti Williams, Fergus Burke. Look, the list goes on. Lee Halfpenny, the guy they brought in from Wales to fill in at fullback. Rivers Rahana, Brody McAllister. And would you believe it? Owen Franks has just been suspended for 2 weeks for a bad hit and a breakdown. So look, they are missing a lot of key people. The thing is, Catherine, under Scott Robertson, they also had times where they missed a lot of key people and they found ways to win. On Saturday against the Hurricanes, when they were kind of stuck in a bit of a grind and an arm wrestle, they did not look like a team with solutions. Look, they've got major issues. They have to be addressed, and they have to be addressed soon.
Now, into the league, a couple of losses also for the Warriors, but I have to say, in the interest of research, I just had a look at that try, that last minute try. Just fill us in on what happened here. How good a match was this?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, the Warriors are winless, 0-2 start to their season. They've lost to the Sharks week one. Remember, 16-12 after leading 12-0 early. And the loss on the weekend to the Melbourne Storm, 30-26. And if you haven't seen Xavier Coates' match-winning try for the Storm, you must check it out. It's a feat. It is one of the greatest NRL tries, I think, they're talking about of all time. He literally has a run to the corner. He leaps in the air and contorts his body and literally manages to get the ball down, you know, centimetres inside the line, and just literally milliseconds before his other arm goes into touch. It is an amazing try, and it's what it took for Melbourne to beat the Warriors. So if you're Warriors fans, I'm not sure you're panicking. Look, they led that game 26-18 with 3 minutes to go, and Melbourne scored 2 tries in the last 3 minutes. Almost unheard of. And they needed everything to go their way in those last 3 minutes, and it did. So if you're a Warriors fan, I don't reckon you're panicking. I reckon you've still got a good team. You need a win this week against the Raiders back at home, a team they have had some great ding-dong battles with in recent years, but they're very capable of beating. You want to get that win. You want to get on the board. But that Melbourne game showed that the Warriors are doing a lot right. They just didn't finish the game. They left a sliver of daylight, and Xavier Coates did the rest with one of the best tries you'll ever see.
Yes, I'd like someone to deconstruct the physics of what he achieved there one day. Cricket, the White Ferns have got a series getting underway this afternoon, I think. This is against England. Can we look forward to the series, or are there a few players out?
Yeah, a bit of both. I think we can look forward to it. Look, it's pretty late for cricket to be going. There's going to be some chilly folks. This first game's down in Dunedin, starting at 1 o'clock today. I think there's a T20 series that morphs into a one-day series, 3 ODIs, 5 T20s followed by 3 ODIs over the next fortnight. So this sort of brings the curtain down on the cricket season. What's interesting is both teams are down key players because of the women's Premier League in India, obviously where the big money is. That happens in women's sport as well as men's cricket. So Sophie Devine and Mally Kerr coming in late for the White Ferns. Are they going to miss the first match or two? But we'll be back for this series. And England also have a raft of players not arriving in, I don't think, until Nelson on Friday. So both teams down a few key people, but reinforcements on their way. Interesting in that England really have dominated the New Zealanders in cricket in recent times. This is a new era of White Ferns. White Ferns cricket. This is a new era of White Ferns cricket. Some sort of key players have retired in recent times, and England are one of the standard setters in the women's game. So this is where it gets interesting. Yeah. We need to see the White Ferns make some progress, some form.
One thing I'd observe is Sophie Devine and Mealy Kerr coming back from that league should be in tip-top form, and we might see the benefits of some of these players getting to play more cricket around the world and around the calendar, coming in to replace Michaela Greig and Georgia Plummer, who's a very talented young player for the second game. There's a lot of youth in the side. Lea Tuhu's still in there, just averaging the age out a bit, but a lot of youth in the side. And let's just see if they can get the bit between their teeth, some of them, and make the most of this opportunity. Super quickly, netball, we're still waiting to see if anyone's going to challenge Dame Nolene Taurua after Netball New Zealand decided they want to open up that role for a contest. Are we seeing anyone put their hand up?
No, we're not. And it's very, really interesting. And some people will have, but it's a very tightly guarded secret, shall we say, who the contenders are. It's expected that some of the domestic coaches might put their hands up more to signal their interest in the job. I think everyone expects Dame Nolene to be reappointed. She's done, on the balance, some great things since she took over. She has them heading in the right direction. They're very competitive with the Australians, which is the key barometer. So I think everyone expects Dame Knowles to be reappointed. What was interesting is that she welcomed an open process. Not all coaches do that, so she clearly feels quite secure, and she thought it was going to be quite good. But expect her to be reappointed sooner rather than later, and normal service resumed in the Silver Ferns.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I can think of a football coach who was often in a huff when there was the suggestion of an open contest, but probably says something to her character that she hasn't taken it as a single signal to march. So very interesting to see how all that plays out. Thank you very, very much for that, Mark. Mark Hinton is a senior sports writer for Stuff.